The global wildlife smuggling trade is worth more than $20 billion a year. And with big money on the line, Australian fauna has become a target for amateur poachers and organised crime. While the rewards can be significant, analysis from the Humane Society has found smuggling convictions rarely lead to serious jail time in this country. Of 33 cases prosecuted over 4 years, the longest jail sentence handed down was just 6 months. That sparked calls for mandatory sentencing and for jurisdictions like the Northern Territory to set up dedicated environmental courts to deal with this problem. Nicola Bynan is head of Australia Campaigns for the Humane Society International. It's been tracking poaching in this country in particular at the moment. Nicola Bynan, welcome to breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Nicola, I think it's fair to say that when most of us think of animal smuggling, we would think of exotic foreign species. How extensive is the smuggling and the poaching trade here in Australia? By comparison, is it small, large? Is it growing?
Well, globally, it's really big business. You said over $20 billion dollars for the global trade, and it comes in just behind drug smuggling, arms trafficking, and human trafficking. And very often, the organised crime syndicates are involved in all of those activities.
So what kind of a slice of that is Australian wildlife?
So in Australia, our wildlife is very unique, as we know, awesome wildlife, and it's highly prized on the international black markets. Globally, the trade will be for body parts, for trinkets and ornaments, and also traditional medicines. Australia, our particular problem is the live animal trade, and it's for the pet trade and for collectors.
And so what is being targeted? What are the prize targets of our wildlife?
So birds and lizards are highly prized from Australia.
What kind of birds? What kind of lizards?
So particularly our parrots, our cockatoos, our black cockatoos, threatened species, collectors in Europe will pay tens of thousands of dollars for a cockatoo. Lizards, shingleback lizards, blue-tongue lizards, frill-neck lizards, even a large monitor lizard.
A water monitor?
Would get traded and for tens of thousands of dollars.
How does something as big as a water monitor get shipped out of Australia? How does that happen?
The cruelty in the shipping is awful. Animals get put in the post. They'll get strapped to a courier's body to travel on a flight, and they get sewn and stitched into luggage. But we've seen...
Let's just go back to strapping on a courier's body. How would that happen?
Gaffer tape. They'll take the animals onto their body or stitch them into their clothing.
Are they in a container, or are they just the lizards flat against the back? Or
yeah, they'll get strapped to their body, stitched into clothing, any way they think they can get them out.
Survive a trip to Europe?
Well, no, they don't. A lot of the animals will die of dehydration or starvation. They'll get sent off in big packages. We've seen it's pitiful. Animals stuffed into plastic tubing, birds, lizards, horrendous. Of course, they'll die of if they make it to their destination, and many of them don't. But then they endure a lifetime in captivity.
This is horrific. What kind of prices? What kind of price do these animals and birds attract? These lizards and birds.
So a cockatoo, it's been known to go for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. The rarer the animal, the higher the price, sadly.
I understand it's been described as thriving, but it's not a large trade. Can you give us a sense of how many cockatoos, how many lizards are being shipped? Posted annually?
It's hard to quantify because it's illegal. We only know what gets seized, and every month you're seeing seizures. What Humane Society International and indeed the Australian authorities are frustrated with is the low penalties that are being handed out for these crimes. So what's being detected is obviously a low amount. What's getting to court is an even smaller amount. And then the convictions and the penalties, they're just slaps on the wrist compared to the dollars that people can make from flogging off our wildlife.
Yeah, I'll come back to the penalties. Last year on the 7:30 report, on ABC 7:30 program, they spoke to a former poacher who'd been convicted on more than 40 charges. And he said that social media sites were fueling the trade. Is that what's happening? If you want to buy an Australian native animal, how easy is it to find? How easy is it to place an order? Where do you go?
Oh, it's very easy. If you go onto Gumtree and some of these online platforms, there's
Gumtree.
Animals are being traded all the time. And of course, then that helps facilitate the international trade, which is prohibited. So the online trading phenomenon, of course, has made this whole problem so much more challenging. The online
I know I'm sounding incredulous, but on Gumtree, for instance, what would be an ad that would not attract some kind of law enforcement?
Well, the problem that we have in our country is while the international trade is illegal, in some of the states and territories, it's not. So you can trade domestically within Australia. So that presents a big loophole and makes enforcement really difficult and makes it very difficult to stop animals going out of the country too.
There was a report recently of a man in the United States being killed, I think, by a cassowary. I think I've got that right. Would that have been a traded animal, or is it possible that a cassowary could be in the United States legally?
It's possible that it was there legally. I don't know the circumstances on that particular cassowary, but often you'll have animals traded ostensibly legally, but then they go on to breed them, and they can be quite lucrative animals breeding and fueling the trade overseas.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 18 minutes to 7. Our guest is Nicola Bynum, and Nicola's head of Australia Campaigns for Humane Society International. You're saying we're only seeing small offences. What kind of penalties does someone get if they're found posting a parrot or, you know, trying to board a plane with a lizard strapped around their waist?
So the laws in Australia are really good. We've got strong laws with strong penalties. So the maximum penalty under our federal environment laws could be $210,000 and a 10-year prison sentence. The problem is we're not seeing penalties handed out that are anywhere near that severe.
What are we seeing?
So we're just seeing $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. The maximum since 2015 was $10,000. But when you think that one animal could be traded for $10,000, and these people are trading animals all the time.
So it's not a disincentive. So why are the courts treating it like that?
We want to talk to attorney generals around the country and ask them to help with this problem, to give some guidance to the judiciary to say you need some minimum sentencing guidelines here. And the suggestion that's been made for the Northern Territory of a specialist environment court, we think that's got really strong merit.
Yeah, this is debate going on at the moment in the NT, isn't it? Parks and Wildlife have raised this idea of some kind of special environmental court being set up. But the attorney general in the territory, as I understand it, says there's no plans to introduce one. Do we need a dedicated court? How many instances of this are there?
Well, it's a growing problem. And also, it wouldn't just be wildlife trade. An environment court would look at other environmental offences like pollution offences and land clearing offences and so on. So the environment's under assault in this country. So there's going to be plenty for a court to do. And if you've got a specialist court, then those magistrates and judges will become experts in environmental problems and really understand the science and the consequences.
What's the model overseas? Do other countries have specialist courts, or are they handing out bigger fines, bigger jail terms?
New South Wales has a specialist land and environment court, and we are seeing the benefits of that for New South Wales. You've got judiciary there working in that court who are now specialist environmental, specialists at prosecuting environmental cases, and that's a good thing.
What about in terms of how it's changing? You mentioned earlier that some of this comes behind drug syndicates and gun syndicates, but sometimes they're the same. Has this changed? Has this trade morphed into being a more professionally organised crime? Are you seeing any changes on that front?
Yes, yeah, so it ranges from small-time criminals who are just, they can make a quick buck from flogging off our wildlife to organised crime syndicates. And globally, governments are taking the issue really seriously now, not just for the animals and the threat to biodiversity, but because of the links with organised crime and also terrorism.
And Nicola, I don't know if you know this, but what about coming the other way? What about wildlife being illegally traded into Australia? Is that happening much? Do we know?
Yeah, the problem is going both ways. We need to be doing more to close off Australia as a loophole for illegal wildlife
trade. Are people trying to bring animals in?
Some get caught. Obviously, a lot don't, and that's why they do it. We're campaigning at the moment for Australia to close down a domestic ivory trade to help the global effort that's going on to protect elephants at the moment. In Australia, it's legal to trade ivory within our borders, while international trade is prohibited. And, of course, that's a loophole.
All right. Nicola Bynum, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Nicola Bynum is the head of Australia Campaigns for the Humane Society International. It's a horrific story, if you think about that, isn't it? Parrots being posted to Britain.
Yeah.
It's 7:15 on Breakfast.